Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today I have in the studio a newly retired member of Shasta County staff. I have in the studio Kathy Darling Allen. She's retired as Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you here. What I am wondering about, what's it like to retire? It's off in the horizon for me a ways.
It feels a little bit like it's off in the horizon for me a little ways as well, in that I just am, even though I'm not going to work every day anymore, mm-hmm. and I certainly, you know, I have left behind the responsibility and the privilege of serving the voters, I still am finding myself very, very busy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And are you comfortable talking about why you retired?
Sure. So I got a virus in October of 2023 and was really sick for a couple of days, stayed home from work for a couple of days, and just was feeling very much like my asthma medicine wasn't working anymore or working well enough. And every once in a while that happens. I've had asthma for a long time, so it just kind of comes and goes. Anyway, so I was feeling short of breath, and I went to my primary care and we added some meds, which really didn't help, and blah, 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 blah. Fast forward to November, and I ended up in the hospital on the Saturday after Thanksgiving and was diagnosed with heart failure. So
That must have been shocking.
Shocking and pretty overwhelming. At the time, I've never had any cardiac issues that I knew about. I've never had high blood pressure. Since then, I've had a myriad of tests, we're still working on treatment plans. I'm going to have a pacemaker at some point, and I'm hoping that will help a lot for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, better living.
Yes. But when I was first diagnosed, my doctors told me that there was a four-pronged attack to issues like mine, and it includes diet, exercise, medication, and stress reduction. And the stress reduction there is the key. That's the answer to your actual question.
Yeah.
About why I retired. So I just, when I was younger, I never would have called myself a workaholic. I didn't think of myself in those terms, but I've come to realize that's a problem for me. And so I don't know how to do this job. I didn't know how to do it.
How to dial back,
how to do it at 40% or whatever. And certainly the political situation that we're all dealing with here locally is incredibly toxic and difficult. And, we have some board members who are just completely misguided. And they continue to this day to interfere in a department that is not their responsibility to run. They continue to do that with other departments as well. They seem totally, wholly unaware that their job is to manage the budget of the county and to provide overall general policy direction. Their job is not to micromanage any department, especially those departments that are run by elected department heads. The people have already decided who they want to run those departments and how they want them run. The voters have made that decision. Sorry, I'm going off.
No,
a little off topic, but it's very frustrating to me to watch what's happening right now, and to also see that in the majority, the people who are criticized and castigated by board members are female, almost without exception. Mm-hmm. That is a huge problem, and the fact that it's not being called out more publicly, I wish it was.
I agree, and I want to kind of set the stage. If we have someone listening that's from afar, not aware of Shasta County politics, not aware of your legacy as serving as the clerk and registrar of voters for Shasta County, I want to paint the picture, the background. You are an elected official. See, I still say are. were elected official, voted in by the community.
Five times.
Yes, five times. And so let's talk about that. What year did you first step into office as an elected official?
I was appointed in the middle of my, or towards the middle of my predecessor's final term of office in September of 2004. And then I was elected for the first time in 2006 when the office came up for election.
Why did you choose to clerk, registrar of voters? I mean, was it something you had in a vision to do, or is it just...
Absolutely not.
Life took you there.
Yeah, life took me there. I grew up in a really political household. My mom was very politically engaged. She worked on school board campaigns and city council campaigns in D.C. where I grew up. And my dad worked for the D.C. government in a variety of capacities. So public service was just something my family did. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a doctor and served his community in that capacity, you know, in a doctor's office outside in his house. So my mom saw that growing up. In any case, I moved here to Reading for family, you know, once I had kids. And I worked at the welfare department initially here at the county and worked my way up there. And one of the people who I had worked with when I was in training at the welfare department called me in 2003 and said, hey, there's a job opening at the elections department, and I think you'd be so great at that. And I didn't know very much about it, and this was very close on the heels of Bush v. Gore, the court case in 2000, and the punch card debacle, and many people at the time said to me, ooh, this is a weird time to go into elections. Why would you want to do that? But one of the things that Sally Mayer said to me, she was the outgoing assistant county clerk whose job I was taking. She was retiring, and she said, you know, it is never boring. The law changes almost every year. Our friends in Sacramento update how elections work one way or another, sometimes very minor ways, sometimes in major ways. But it's just never boring. Every election is different. And she was right. It is a very compelling, challenging job. And it is so rewarding to allow people, your neighbors, the opportunity to petition their government through their ballot. So it's a really meaningful thing to do with your life, and it's a really interesting thing to do for me. And I have found that this is a common theme across election officials in the United States, actually not just in California, but almost everyone I know who works in elections deeply believes in what they're doing, deeply believes in our nation and our patriots, regardless of political party affiliation. I'm very resentful of how that term has been co-opted and weaponized to some degree.
Yes.
But it is a really great thing to do to pay the bills.
Yes.
It's a great way to participate in your community and really have meaning in your work.
It sounds like you really discovered something that spoke to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Unexpectedly spoke to you.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, nobody, there's no election official Barbie, right?
People, yeah, really.
We need to make one of those.
Yes,
that's a
really.
Really good idea. Anyway.
Yes.
I'm going to be rich.
Yeah, really, really, really.
No, but I really, I think I am going to, oh, that's a good idea. Anyway, people don't, you know, it's not like being a policeman or a fireman or other wonderful service jobs like that that are similarly rewarding in that you're giving back to your community. So it's not something people think about as a young kid, right?
Right.
It's something that you don't, most people are, it's, I saw a great quote over the last couple of days that elections are like ducks on water. They're gliding along, but underneath they're paddling like hell, and it under the water, and you can't see that part. And so most people don't know how much work goes into an election. You know, 10, 15 years ago, the joke was always, oh, you guys worked. What do you do the other 2 days a year? You know, this idea that elections just kind of organically happen. Rise out of the ground and you can just pluck the cherry off and vote your ballot. It, you know, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into maintaining the voter file every single day. And that's the thing that we're hearing the most, I think, criticism about in public right now, is that the voter file is a problem. And the mistake that we hear very often, even from some of the commissioners who are appointed to the Citizens Elections Commission, they have this mistaken impression that a database is like a bucket of water, when really, in the case of the voter registration database, it is like a river. Mm. It is never the same two moments in a row, because people move in and move out. They change their party. They change their address. There's all kinds of things that happen to folks who, to all the voters that we service in our little tiny Shasta County. Mm-hmm. 112,000 people in this very mobile society that we live in. The voter file is constantly being maintained. We literally have someone whose job it is 40 hours a week to add people in, delete people out, update their records. And another person who all they do is add people in, right? So the voter file is being worked on all the time here in Shasta County and in every other county in the United States. It's just not this misnomer, you need to clean up the voter rolls. Actually, I think it would be really helpful if the folks making statements like that would visit the election department and have a conversation and believe what they're told, instead of believing people who are acting in bad faith and spreading lies on the internet.
It's really unfortunate, because somehow there's this dynamic that people are more apt to believe the lies than they are the reality. So I think your encouragement for people to visit the elections office, see what's going on, see how things transpire, is really good, so you can have the confidence. I have confidence in it, and I've been amazed at how, through this period of time when there's been so much ridicule, degradation, you know, conspiracy theories around the elections department in Shasta County, I just think, wow, what a waste of time, and how humiliating and degrading for the staff. And it's hard.
I've gotten a lot of positive feedback over the years, because I always defended staff and I never called staff out or blamed staff. We've actually had that happen. Another department head very recently just talked about it in public, about how their department was experiencing some issues because of staff who had left, which I think is totally inappropriate. As a leader of the department, it's your job to take responsibility for the department and for whatever actions are happening. In any case, it is essential, especially in the situation we're in now, that the leadership not point fingers at individuals who are making, you know, not enough money already.
Yes.
To do their regular job. And that's part of what's been so difficult for me and for many of my colleagues in other states. Frankly, mostly battleground states are the places where we see the same kind of stuff happening, on the attacks on the election department that we're seeing in Shasta County. In other states, are mainly happening in battleground states. Shasta County is not a battleground state, right? We're not a county in a battleground state, but we still seem to have a very serious attack that's happening on the election department. And it's just really important that leadership back up their staff and understand what staff is doing, so they can do that in good faith.
Yes.
and have confidence in the messages that they're delivering.
What I'm curious about, and I don't know if you have any thoughts or ideas around this, but why do you suppose that even though Shasta County is not part of a battleground state, there's so much upheaval politically?
So that's a great question, and I can't answer for the voters who've voted the folks in that are in office right now. We can't really speak necessarily to why voters made the selections that they did. We are all living with the voters' choices right now, and March's election results show a different sensibility and a desire for some change. So we will see that change enacted in January when those new officials are sworn in. But I think it's really important that we continue to pay close attention clearly this board and some of the stuff we're seeing happen politically at the national level warrant our attention. And every vote matters. I had this conversation with one of my children just recently about how they were buying into the narrative of, I don't know. My voice is one voice, and one voice doesn't matter. And so I had a long conversation with them about why it matters and how important it is to participate and to make your, not only to vote, but to talk to your friends. Make sure that you're talking to people around you. There are a lot of people who don't necessarily believe that their voice matters, and it really does.
As the registrar of voters in Shasta County for so many years, are you comfortable commenting on the amount of people that show up that versus who are registered? How does that?
Sure. So, I mean, turnout of voters in general, and why we have less, not why everybody doesn't vote, that kind of thing. So I'm not a social scientist. I'm not a political scientist. But I think there's a variety of reasons. We have, some challenges locally, right? We have really high ACEs scores. We have really high, we have issues for folks with food insecurity, housing insecurity. And it's just Maslow's hierarchy. I think that, if your baseline needs are not being met, voting is not going to be high on your list, right? And I think we have, for California, I think we are one of those counties that has higher than normal problems.
Yes.
Socioeconomically.
Those ACEs scores point to the adverse childhood effects that happen and create trauma in a person's life. And we're higher than the state average. We're higher than the national average in Shasta County. And the need to survive certainly takes priority over anything else. So we have the privilege to be able to cast a vote and to educate ourselves about the candidates and to participate. Some countries, it's legally required to vote. And if you don't vote, you're in trouble.
Yep.
So to have the opportunity, I just really encourage people to become part of what's transpiring. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. We're here in conversation with Kathy Darling Allen. She's retired Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. So you spent 2004 to 2024, 20 years involved in the Elections Department. Do you remember what year you were elected to office?
Yeah, the first time was 2006.
2006. So I think it's important for people to realize you've been around a while.
I have.
Yes.
I have.
Yeah. So let's also, as you participated in not just what happens here in the elections office, you participated in state workings as well. Can you talk about that a little bit? Share with us what you were involved in.
When I started in 2003... The county had just purchased a new voting system, which was electronic. And previously we had been a punch card county for decades, many decades. Mm. And again, remember, this is just past Bush v. Gore and the whole punch card and pregnant hanging chads, all that stuff, right? So we were California decertified punch cards. And so we got a new voting system. I started in June. 2 weeks later, that new voting system was delivered. Wow. We had this really funny little petition getting circulated that nobody thought was going to go anywhere, and it was for the recall of Governor Gray Davis. So that was my first election, was the governor's recall in October. And then we had a full countywide regular election in November, less than 30 days later. Then that followed with the presidential primary in March of 2004. And so there's like 6 months of my life I just don't remember at all.
And you were at the office.
And I was at the office, and I was reading at home with my kids, putting kids to bed and then reading for 2 or 3 hours every night. And the thing that saved me, and at the same time, Ann Reed, my boss, her was having a lot of family stuff going on. Her dad got very ill and then actually passed away. She was very close to both her parents, so she was doing a lot of support stuff with her mom. So she was really very distracted, understandably so. And so I really depended on my neighbors, to clerks that work in the counties around us. And then also just, we had a statewide, we still do, there's a statewide professional association with an email file server. So you can send out an email and it goes to 600 people and say, how do you do this? And I left out that our voter registration system went from like a Lotus 1-2-3 black screen to a Windows interface. So it was all new. The voter registration system was new. The voting system was new. Nobody knew how to use either.
Wow.
In our office. And so we had to figure it out from the ground up in time to do this insane recall election.
So you're on the run.
So we were on the run, and my state professional association was the safety net that really saved us and allowed us to serve the voters accurately and well. And so I've always been really involved and participate in that, because I know how important having peers is, right? So that's the other thing, is that, for example, in my office, we have one person who does election billing and finance for our election department. They don't have a peer in the county.
Yeah.
The only other people who do that same exact kind of work in different counties. So that's one of the things the professional association allows us to do, is to let those folks have a network, and when I say those folks, I mean all the people who work in my office, mm-hmm. the voter registration people, the poll worker folks, everybody has counterparts in other counties. And so I just always have thought it's very important to allow them to have a phone a friend, right?
Yeah.
What's the poll worker coordinator doing in Santa Clara County? What are they doing in Nevada County?
Resources.
Exactly, resources. Yeah. So because of that experience and my dedication to making sure that association runs, and it's an all-volunteer association, there's no staff, just like election departments are underfunded, so too is our professional association, unfortunately.
What's the name of the organization?
It's the California Association of Clerks and Election Officials, CACEO is the acronym, and if you try and say it as a word, you could find a dollar, so...
Just a pro tip.
So I've spent a lot of time working on the association. My first thing I volunteered to do was work on developing a manual for military and overseas voters and how counties handle those. There was a lot of law changes in the early aughts, and so that effort was already underway, I should say, with folks out of Sacramento County and some other counties, and I just helped them. But I'm the only one still standing from that group. That's well, I was the last one to retire, I guess is the way I should say it. And then I served as president from 2012 to 2014. As past president, then you do other stuff. But the financial stuff I've spent a lot of time working on. I started a project in 2012 or so on election billing and election costs, and that there's a committee that continues on again to provide those folks specifically with a peer group, but also to just make sure to try and get some kind of uniformity.
Yes.
amongst counties. Counties like ours, where we share a district or many districts with many other counties, the assembly district, the Senate district, the congressional district, it's really helpful if we all know what each other is doing as far as billing is concerned, because the candidates that run for those offices, we have to be able to explain very correctly and concisely why it is that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the budget principles that the board passes every year. And they direct us to collect as much reimbursement as possible for the services that we provide. And so that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But we're not popular with some candidates because of that. But I don't believe philosophically it's our job to subsidize candidate information.
Right.
So we charge actual costs.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, that's what the campaign costs are for a candidate. That's part of the thing.
Well, and if you go out and price a postcard with a 200-word statement on it to mail out to your jurisdiction, I guarantee you every time, regardless of we're talking about the whole county or a very small school district, it's going to be more expensive for you to do that on your own than for the information to be delivered in the voter guide.
Yeah.
And it's optional. You don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you, at the state level, you've been active, and ever since you started in the elections office.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you served also as the president and past president,
right,
and staying very active and served on committees. Did you ever have the opportunity to interact nationally outside of the state of California?
But we had we have some national and international election official professional associations, which I belong to and participated in. I'm also on the board of the California Voter Foundation. I'm still the board chair for that nonprofit out of Sacramento. And that nonprofit has been, the president and founders, Kim Alexander, and she has been active in working to protect California voters for getting close to 30 years now. We had a 25-year celebration several years ago.
Wow.
So we're getting close to 30, I think. And she has worked, she worked on getting campaign finance reports put online. She was instrumental in getting a paper trail to make sure that voters casting an electronic ballot had a paper copy of that ballot that could always be audited and verified by the voter. That organization's done a ton of really great work. And so through both membership in professional associations and working to support Kim's work, I've had the opportunity to do some stuff nationally as well.
That's awesome.
Testifying at committees, meeting with legislators, that kind of stuff.
And that organization, the nonprofit again, is the
California Voter Foundation.
CalVoter.org.
CalVoter.org. And we love donations.
Yes. Keeps everything going.
Yeah. Shameless plug, yeah.
That's okay. I think that it's amazing that, you know, the work you've done here in Shasta County, you really honed your skills and became, through time, an expert in your field and certainly a leader in your field. Do you think it's important for someone that's going to be placed in the election official's office as the clerk and registrar of voters, that they have some sort of background? I mean, you came up through assistant, you know, the deputy.
Right.
You were learning from your mentor and then moved into it through elections. So do you think it's an important thing to have happen, or do you just bring people in that have no experience?
I really think it's important to have a baseline of knowledge. And I think it's important to point out as well that this is not the same job that I took in 2003 and 2004. The work is very different and much more demanding and much more fraught politically. And we thought it was fraught then.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the current clerk. I've never met him. I don't have any personal knowledge to judge him, and I don't want to do that. I don't think that's helpful or productive mm-hmm. for me to have strong opinions and blast people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he still has to prove himself, mm-hmm. and he has a really good opportunity to do that in November. And he's, frankly, got the best ace in the hole he could have, which is Joanna Francesca. She's incredibly bright and competent. She does an amazing job of taking care of her staff. And so as long as he is able to be supportive and not kind of not get in the way of the good practices that she has instituted, I think that that department will be okay and the voters will be served. And at the same time, I'm not going to be there. So I'm not going to know what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, this is not, I care deeply about this community and about how elections happen. And I want my vote to count in November. Right. So we'll just all have to wait and see how things go.
And I'm going to just clarify for a moment. I wasn't specifically talking about the person that's been put in a position in Shasta County. I would think the daunting task a clerk has in the elections office, having some sort of background and experience, would be good.
It would be good but at the same time, as an elected official, you know, in 2026, it's essentially going to be an open seat. In any case, what I'm trying to say is anybody can get elected to anything,
yes,
regardless of their experience or qualifications. I mean, we've seen that politically, right?
Yes.
Here locally and that's just a
across the nation.
Across the nation,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So while I think it's advantageous, I think there are compelling reasons why registrar voters should be elected They're not all elected in California. Not every, all 58 counties do not elect a registrar of voters. The very largest counties have appointed folks do that job, and that's their prerogative. But understand that the voters had to approve that change. Voters have to approve an elected department head going to an appointed one. But I think we're seeing right now, regardless of the statements that are being made, we are seeing some board members repeatedly ask the elections department to violate the law. It is only because I was elected and the current incumbent serves as if elected that that person can push back on other elected officials and say no. And say no without fear of retribution, which apparently is a thing that we're all worried about now in Shasta County, which is really unfortunate. But so I think that it's a really tricky question, right?
Yes.
Should you have experience? I think ideally, yes. But it's entirely possible in 2026 that we'll have elected registrars running who have no experience, and maybe you have a county with candidates who have three candidates and no experience for any of them, yes. Right? That's entirely possible. So, it's because it's an elected position, there's been a lot of talk about instituting new requirements for running for office. That would be a change to state law. And that's been a conversation in our professional association for many years. We have not ever come up with a proposal that I'm aware of. Maybe they have now, but they previously, that was a conversation that was just a conversation. It was mm-hmm. never a hard proposal, and it was never never put in writing that I'm aware of. So, but maybe it will be.
Yeah. This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. We're here in conversation with Kathy Darlene Allen, retired Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters. You mentioned just before the station ID that the clerks are in a position where they are not to violate the law. They have to follow the law. And that, in this case, Shasta County Board of Supervisors does not have jurisdiction, dominion, oversight, supervision of the clerk's office.
So there's a fine distinction there. They have supervisory oversight, but they do not have the capacity to direct the daily, day-to-day activities of the office. And that's where it bleeds into interference.
Yes. So in what way do they have supervisory capacity?
Certainly with the budget.
Yes. I think it's important for people to recognize that.
Yeah.
One of the things, too, I wanted you to comment on, you just spoke moments ago about Joanna Franciscat. I see her as very dedicated. Getting to know her and watching her and her passion, for making sure people have access to the votes, to voting, and that the accuracy of the votes, she reminds me of you. So when you think of Joanna and the staff as you retired, what's your take on who they are as far as keeping the voting what it should be, accurate, legitimate?
I think that they're an amazing group of professionals and humans. They're just, without exception, lovely people, and also extremely dedicated to the work that they're doing. There's a ton of loyalty to Joanna. So if she's not there, I don't know what that means for some of the other staff. But she is there.
Yes.
And, I hope that is the situation that continues if that's what she wants. I just, at this point, again, I'm no longer the boss. I'm just mm-hmm. a cheerleader for mm-hmm. those folks. And I want them to be successful. I want them to have a little bit less drama and a lot less unwarranted criticism. I think it's really important for folks to understand that the situation that we all have lived through for the last several years is completely fabricated. There is nothing criminal. There is nothing actionable that has happened in the elections department that warrants the attacks that have been perpetrated by some of the board members here in Shasta County. That mm-hmm. is we are being, or we were, I was, and they are still, to some degree, being persecuted simply for doing their job and following the law. Mm-hmm. The conversation that's happened at the board multiple times about shredding old election materials, that is in the law. It is black and white. There's no gray area. There's no, oh, if you don't feel like it, you don't have to. It is a shall. And when you read the law in California, you have statements that are shall and you have statements that are may. You may shred or you shall shred. And that is a shall. That's what the law says. We all, when we're elected, take an oath of office that we're going to support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
So being pressured to try to do something you're not supposed to do, it takes a lot of personal commitment and integrity to stand up against that barrage of criticism.
Yeah, and Joanna's done an amazing job of doing that, and also of separating herself from me. I think there's this perception that she's just Kathy Jr., and that's both insulting and simply not true. She is her own adult person who is making decisions for herself and has her own set of integrity and personal values, which I believe are admirable. So, I mean, it just there's just a lot of statements that have been made publicly about her and about staff at the office that are untrue and really distressing.
Yes. You know, to do your job with integrity and good conscience and to be criticized for that and even threatened. I this year, listened to a panel of women in office and or leadership roles in our community that talked about the threats they receive because they're doing their job the way the law requires. And my hope is that anyone that's in an office is doing their job as the law requires. And so I can remember in the past you being criticized because you're at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and you were knitting while you were. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I could not believe that. And the remarks they would make that they've made to one of the county representatives, supervisor Mary Rickert, to yourself, it does seem like it's pointed towards women.
Yeah, and yes, it absolutely does seem like that. I also strongly believe that it's really easy to create a problem. If you create a paper tiger, you can burn it down and look like you're doing something. Instead of addressing the issues of homelessness, affordable housing, food insecurity, mental health care that's not available in our community, the Board of Supervisors has created this paper tiger and then tried to burn it up. And look at all the great work we're doing. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. It doesn't pass the smell test. And it's absolutely false.
Absolutely false. It's just, it breaks my heart actually to see yourself having to leave. And I look at the elections department and have interfaced with Joanna and I see her as an authority, an expert, and her staff, all the things that they've gone through. Even people that I know that have been poll workers have said they've seen some really odd criticisms on sites and behaviors that they just couldn't believe were actually occurring. And so I've always appreciated when you were clerk, you inviting people to come in and observe and see what happens to build the confidence in the system. And I think it does have to do with our adverse childhood experiences, scores, trauma that creates a lot of fear, and people can manipulate people who are fearful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that, you know, just on that note, I would absolutely still encourage folks, even if you think that there's nothing wrong, your eyes are needed also. Yeah. And part of what we have seen happen over the last several years is folks coming in to observe the election process and then using that opportunity to harass and intimidate staff. And they seem to do it less when there are other eyes in the room. So we've just really tried to ramp up that observation program for the entire community so that we can help protect our staff.
Absolutely. I also want to give you opportunity, if there's something we haven't talked about that you wanted to be sure we discussed in this conversation. I'm actually hoping that we'll have more conversations through time, because I think it's important, especially when we have elected officials or appointed people in service and community leadership, when they have to change the trajectory of their life, to see how they do that and what insights they have after leaving a particular role, because I think there's great value in that. And so when I look at you having to leave because of health reasons and having to navigate a new way of life, watching Shasta County move through all the changes it's been through, do you think that COVID impacted what happened through the elections office, the pressure that came through to the elections office?
Absolutely. As soon as, you know, when the shutdown happened in March of 2020, we had just had an election. The presidential primary was in March in 2020. So we didn't shut down. We had to continue and complete our canvass of the vote. So we all kept coming to work because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't experience the shutdown in the way that other people and other county departments did. And certainly, of course, private businesses had a whole other set of impacts, which we didn't experience. But I think absolutely, as soon as COVID, I think the idea of the pandemic and public health mandates triggered something, because, you know, when I first started in elections in the early 2000s, there was a ton of concern about technology in elections and the computer ate my vote and I spent hours with critics from the left who were worried about how elections were conducted. Republicans didn't have any concern whatsoever, no concern whatsoever about mobile ballots or absentee ballots at that time. And my, how things have changed, right? But so I think it's really important to understand and acknowledge that once COVID was put to bed, once Karen Ranstrom was fired, the board then switched their focus to elections, and they continue to focus on elections in a way that's not healthy or productive for our community.
Mm-hmm.
I hope now that they have their chosen candidate in place that might help. Honestly, I'm not sure that it will. I thought by removing myself from the equation, that would remove a target, and perhaps they would pivot to an actual problem that needs to be addressed in our community. But that has not been the result. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't anticipate that they're going to stop. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens as we go forward. I would love it if they would focus on real problems that they can actually solve.
Yes. This is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Kathy Darlene Allen, retired Shasta County clerk and registrar of voters. Do you think when you have served in Shasta County as the clerk in the elections office, registrar of voters, were you concerned about fraud? Were you concerned about inaccuracies? Don't you think there's checks and balances in place that keep those things from happening when you're following the law?
So that's a great question. And it's more than I think. It's I know. Uh-huh. I know that fraud, I know that the things that are bandied about very casually and carelessly currently are not systemic, are not pervasive. Do individual voters attempt to cast more than one ballot? Yes, they do attempt to do that. They are almost always caught. If they are not caught ahead of time, they are caught on the back end of the process. For example, if someone casts a ballot in more than one county, we have a statewide voter registration system now. If you cast a ballot in San Diego and also in Shasta County, we're going to know about it. So then the question is, well, how is that even possible? Well, people move. We mail ballots to every single voter in the state. Mm-hmm. And if you move in between the 30 days prior to the election and election day, if you re-register in your new county, they're going to send you a ballot also. And the law says you can vote one time. So whichever ballot you send in first is going to get counted. When you send in that second ballot, then you're going to have an investigator from the Secretary of State's office knock on your door and ask you why you voted again. And then, you know, potentially prosecute you. Shasta County District Attorney has dedicated on more than one occasion resources to combating election fraud on a case-by-case basis. But we, in no way are we talking about more than one person voting twice. That is the only thing I've ever seen. I have never seen a case where somebody voted a dozen ballots or as there have been a lot of other incredibly inventive and totally false allegations spouted into the microphone during public comment at Board of Supervisors meetings. None of those have any truth. The district attorney, current and past, have been willing to prosecute voter election crimes in Shasta County. That's not true in every county. Not every mm-hmm. district attorney is willing to spend resources on that. Murder's way sexier. Mm-hmm. It gets you, you know, your face on the front of the paper. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, nobody really cared if somebody voted more than once. That wasn't something that people were excited about. But I was, and the district attorney was. And so I think it's really disingenuous. It speaks very strongly of a personal vendetta for folks to be making those kinds of allegations that are just specious and false.
People expect sometimes that if someone's making a statement like that, they must have proof. And that's not always true. And just because you read it online doesn't make it so. And actually, I think social media has been detrimental in many ways. You know, oftentimes people get on there and do rants and they're not informed. They're not educated about a process. So to make statements when you are not informed, it just is not a good idea. It causes issues. And there's people that have so much fear on board that they take up, you know, that the questions of all that.
Yeah, and it's you're absolutely right. One of the things I used to say quite often when I had the opportunity was, if you read something online and it gets you angry immediately, stop, pause. It's trying to hook you. That's an emotional manipulation tactic, and you just fell for it. Mm-hmm. So stop. Go do reading somewhere else at a different website, on an opinion-based website like Facebook or Truth Social or Twitter, right? Or X or whatever it is now.
So Instagram, I mean, whatever it is.
Right. That is not a research-based. What I'm trying to say is those platforms allow anyone, Russian bots, Chinese bots, and by bot, I mean not an actual person, but an AI-generated hate message that is intended to divide us and sow political discord. There is a ton of that happening online right now. And so we're not even talking about your neighbor down the street who flies a flag that you don't agree with. We're talking about people who have never been to the United States, will never be to the United States, and are being manufactured to spread bad information, to sow discord in a economic rival.
You know, I think it's so important when you point out if there's something that stimulates you, makes you angry, you need to fact check it. And you need to go to reliable, whether it's a nonprofit organization, I mean, Pew Research offers a lot of information. Is there any particular groups that can you go to the trade association and get information? Is their website have stuff, or is there any one that you would recommend?
That's a great question. There's a lot of organizations that are doing work in the election space, a lot of nonprofits and a lot more universities now. It used to be that there was literally just one or two universities that were doing graduate level election programs, for example. Now mm-hmm. there are more like 10. The Humphrey School does a lot of great work. The Belfer School out of Harvard, the Belfer Kennedy School does a lot of great work. Several universities in Oregon doing really good research in elections. And so if you're looking for an academic resource,
yes,
There is a federal election assistance commission. They have a great website. I think it's eac.gov. And they have a ton of great information. Verified Voting has a ton of really good information about election technology, a map of the entire country called the Verifier, and they can tell you what kind of equipment's being used where. There are many resources out there in the election space that will give you factual information. You don't have to go to a website for a newspaper or a news outlet if you want to find out information about elections. Mm-hmm. And I think the best place to go is your local election department. Call them, go to their website, walk in the door, and talk to the person at the counter and see if you can get information from them about the thing that you read about that got you excited.
Yeah, I think that's great encouragement because, one, we're verifying what we think is going on versus what we're being told is going on. And, you know, I think the role of the misuse of media in our nation has created a lot of issues and problems. When you have individuals that can, like to stir up controversy, get people worked up and getting them moving in a certain direction, what we would call manipulating people to go in a certain direction, to create chaos, to create change that they're trying to control, it's very important that people realize people will blame the media. Media is telling the story, but you have to ask yourself who is using that media and how are they using that media?
Well, and you can also do research if you want into mm-hmm. who owns that media.
Absolutely.
And why, what's their political bias? At the end of the day, media is a service. It's an essential part of our democracy.
Absolutely.
And keeping holding politicians and other public figures accountable. And I think that's, you know, we're seeing a lot of that here locally. We have some great independent journalists, yourself included, who are doing a really good job of holding our local folks accountable. And I think that's, it's really important to understand when you click on a story, you're providing traffic to the website, which is helping to convince the advertisers of that on that website to continue buying advertising space, which is what keeps media going. So, you know, it's really a great idea to understand where the money, follow the money.
Great idea. So I think it's important to address the role of media. Media is a tool. All of us hopefully have knowledge about how to access it. But just because you hear something or see something on media doesn't necessarily mean it's accurate. Again, as we had said, fact-checking is important. And it is a tool that can be used in healthy ways. What's important is develop our media literacy, that we recognize that this tool can be used in a healthful way to educate and inform, or an unhealthy way to manipulate. So it's very important. So I've been involved in media for over 30 years. So it's a tool that I think is a very viable to the well-being of our community. And as Kathy said, it's part of your democracy. It's very important that we have media involved in things. So what have we not covered? We just got a couple minutes left in our program, Kathy. One of the things I want to acknowledge while you're thinking about that, you've been given a number of awards. And one of the things that spoke to me at attending your retirement gathering was the clerk from Los Angeles and how he spoke about your relationship and your influence, your dedication serving in the state organization, networking throughout the state, networking nationally. And his hope was that there'd be a gathering for you to be elected and run for Secretary of State. And we heard many, many comments. There have been at least a dozen different clerks from around the state there. So I know that...
More than that.
I'm being conservative.
We had two tables that were just registers. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
It was. I was so humbled and thrilled to see them.
Yes. So the encouragement to our community, what would you say to our community about our elections office, the role it plays?
You know, it's an essential part of, for many people, it's an essential part of how our government functions, right? Yes. Having the voters get to weigh in and express their opinion at every election and explain, well, check a box and say who they support. So spending time trying to get to know those candidates is really important. It's harder when folks aren't truthful on the front end of a candidacy and then do something different later.
Yeah.
But we hope that the voters will hold those folks accountable as time goes on. That's all we can hope for.
Yeah. And we do have all these processes. We have voting. We have recall. We can run an election servant office. But really, the encouragement is vote, participate, educate yourself about the candidates.
Absolutely. I would also encourage folks to continue to pay attention to what's happening at the Board of Supervisors. You know, we have five supervisors, three of whom typically vote together. And so what those three people want overrides what the other two may want. There's that voting block. And so I think it's really important to acknowledge both Tim Garman and Mary Rickert, direct and honest and representative of the constituencies that elected them. We're seeing some really outside of the box thinking, which sounds appealing. From the other three people, it sounds like, oh yeah, we want change. We want somebody who's from outside the system to break it all down. Well, when you break it all down, and you have a family member who has a mental health crisis, guess what? They don't have any help.
Yeah.
Because it's been broken down.
Yes.
When you break it all down and you really, really want your cousin who's unfortunately been taken over by drugs and is homeless to be able to go into the library as a cooling center. But if we break it all down, the library won't be open and there won't be a cooling center. And that person will be outside when it's 120 all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to really think carefully about who we are inviting into these processes. The idea that outsiders are going to do a better job with government is a great one if those outsiders are willing to learn how government works and then work within the system to make change. There's absolutely room for improvement in our local government and our state government and at the federal level as well. But when all you're doing is destroying everything, you're not improving anything. You are simply eliminating services that are available. Leonard Modi said it really well. People aren't going to be engaged in care until the garbage stops getting picked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have private garbage collection in Shasta County. We don't have a municipality doing that. So in the unincorporated areas anyway, you know, that's a private enterprise. So in the three cities, though, that's the kind of thing, unfortunately, that I think has to happen for folks to really wake up and engage. Because I've been saying this for a long time, and I don't know how much effect it's had. But I absolutely encourage folks. You still need to go to the Board of Supervisors. We still need people to be observing that process and speaking up if you're able. I know it can be a really intimidating thing to go to those meetings, but the public feedback is what is needed. And if we have the same 10 people attending board meetings for a year and a half, believe me, those board members are not listening anymore to those people.
Yeah.
They're tuning them out because they've heard their message and they don't care. We need fresh faces. If you really don't agree with what's happening at our local politics, send an email. Show up in person.
And I want to thank you, Kathy Darlene Allen, retired Shasta County clerk and registrar of voters. I want to encourage Kathy, myself, our listeners, let's make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living.